The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
The status quo discourse says there is something fundamentally wrong with sex. We live in a world of conversations attempting to control the source human instinct, the power to procreate. Welcome to Sex and the Divine Design with your host, Mookie Okon. It is the original divine design that ensures the continuation of life. Get ready for an enlightened discussion. Now, here is Mookie Okon.
Welcome back to the latest edition of Sex and the Divine Design. I'm your host, Mookie Okon, also known as your orgasm's best friend. Please visit me at www.thepussytalks.com for educational resources and much, much more. The vision and mission of the Pussy Talks is enhancing sexual well-being and the creation of a global network of sexual healing centers. The centers are for providing education, experiences, and multimedia broadcasting for transforming the discourse on sex. My guest today is a very special guest, Mihirangi, and we'll be having a conversation about the birth of creation, and that's going to be from the Maori traditions. So welcome, Mihirangi. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Kia ora, mokei, ngā mihi ara, ngā mihi nui. Kia ora koutou katoa. E hau e whā, ko Tainui toku waka, ko Hoturua te rangatira, ko Taupiri toku maunga, ko Waikato toku awa, ko Mōkau oka awa, ko Maniaroa toku marae, ko Te Kōhārua, tōku tūpuna whare, ko tā whāo, ka moia mihirangi, tōku tūpuna, ko mihirangi a hau, kia ora. And yeah, thank you, Mookie, for having me. we were talking about what to do on the show, did you? And I was thinking of doing this karakia. For your listeners, karakia is actually an ancient one that was taught in the whare wānanga here in Aotearoa, New Zealand. There's traditional houses of learning that were developed when our ancestors first arrived here. One of the first things that they did was they built these whare wānanga, these traditional houses of learning. And in these houses of learning, certain people would go to them, and kids would be chosen to go there, and they would learn all about genealogy and pretty much everything in Te Ao Māori, in the world of Māori. Is that everything comes through genealogy. So all ancestor beings come from Te Kore, which is nothingness, and from nothingness all the way through the eons of the 12 periods of not necessarily time, but 12 eons of time, and the 12, what we call you call them heavens. I think the Pākehā or the European concept of heaven is completely different. So to call it a heaven is probably not correct, but it's not of this world anyway. Going through those 12 eons of time, and then you come into Io, and then through from Io, which is the supreme being,
which is the all and the everything, and it's kind of our concept of God, divinity, however it is a consistent concept of both the masculine and the feminine, or the positive and the negative, the light and the darkness. And then there's the eons and eons and eons of time of darkness, and eons of time of light. And through those periods of time, they are again what you'd call heavens or other spaces of, or dimensions, actually. Probably dimensions is a better way of explaining it, because in our concept, the heaven is a positive thing. Well, these are neither positive nor negative. They are kind of like representations of feelings, kind of spaces.
And when you say our concepts, who are you referring to?
I'm referring to, coming back to the people that learn in the Wānanga, the Tohunga, who learn about the genealogies. So I'm talking about Māori, as in like the Māori religion. I don't necessarily know whether it's right to say Māori religion, because in today's time now, there are a few different types of Māori religion, like the Ratana Church and so on and so forth. However, pre-colonization, there was a belief in the divinity of Eeyore, the supreme being, and genealogy. So
let's define what genealogy is, because I know for a lot of listeners, that's a whole new word. Well, what is genealogy?
Well, it's genealogy. For us, is like we say, ka puta, meaning that you come forth from something. Something is birthed and pushed into existence. So puta means to literally push into existence, which is the combination of the masculine and the feminine, the dual forces that come together, that push and unite and then push something forward into this world. That's what we talk about in regards to genealogy. So genealogy, referring obvious, there's an obvious one, which is us as humans, who our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, all the way back as far as any one of us can count. So what happens in however Māori tradition is was the ability to have a powerful memory. And part of going into these places of learning was for us to, well, our ancestors, to maintain knowledge through these, they would be traditional rites of passage and traditional ceremonies that would take place for the mind to retain these genealogies. And most genealogies traditionally in the world of Māori can go back at least 99 or beyond 90 something generations.
Is that unique in the world?
You know what, it's actually not. You would think that it is. However, there are, like, I love studying genealogy. I've done it for 20 years, and especially my family's genealogy, however, which mean I've also studied European genealogies, and you know, there's the genealogy of Christ, you know, there's the genealogy of the kings and the queens of Europe. Their genealogies go back through to the Christ lineage, or Mary Magdalene. I mean, there's books and books and books. I actually have a book that's, you know, a really thick book on the genealogies of the kings and queens of Europe. So yeah, so it's not just our culture that does it, it's actually the European culture that does it as well. However, there's a similar theme running with this as well, where we keep our genealogies was through, you know, a particular person in a family group. Would be the one who would obviously be born with the talent to maintain those genealogies. You'll find in all families around the world, there's one person that just goes crazy over genealogy. I so happen to be that person in my family. There always seems to be one of them.
But it's not from from writing it down. It's from
the memory. Yes, absolutely.
That's extraordinary.
It is extraordinary, and how they used to do it in the whare wānanga. The whare wānanga being the traditional house of learning, is there would have to be a minimum of at least four priests, or tahunga, or whatever you want to call them, keepers of the sacred knowledge, and one of them would be giving the knowledge to the students, and the other three would be there to make sure that the corrections were maintained. So there was never ever a one-on-one. It was always done with three or four, at least, tahunga priests, traditional Māori priests, who would pass on those genealogies purely for the simple fact of actually maintaining the truth of them. And it was each other's jobs to stand up and correct each other. And generally those four would have come from the same school, their ancestors would have come from the same school, so on and so on and so on and so on. It's only just since, unfortunately, since colonisation that the genealogy knowledge has been broken, and now it's actually written down. As far as there are a couple of people in this country, there's more than a couple, there's probably a handful of them who can recite their genealogies, and it's quite a stunning thing to behold. It's just like, wow. And one of the great things about being able to recite your genealogy is when you come into a circle or group of people on a marae, you get to do your pepeha, which is, you know, basically where you're from and your mountain and all that sort of stuff. Well, traditionally, it was your whakapapa, your genealogy.
Well, that's a new thing for a lot of listeners to say about your mountain and
yes.
Waters.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Can you say just a little bit more about that?
So what happens here at home is we will talk about our genealogies being birthed into a specific area. So the whenua, which is the womb, the woman's womb, is also the name of the land. And the reason being is the name of the land is called, oh, where are you from? Well, my whenua is Mōkau. That's where my land is, my ancestral land. We have a concept where we don't own it, but we belong to it, because our whenua and our placentas have been buried in those areas. Therefore, what happens is our ancestors have been watered by the water there. That water runs through their blood. And because of the genealogy, we also have genealogies of water. So the ocean is has a genealogy. There's a stunning genealogy about the winds from Tawhiri Matia, the god of wind, the children of the wind might be the wind, that the breeze that goes up the side of a mountain, the breeze that comes up the side of a wave, the breeze that comes up off a cliff face. They're all children of the wind. So because we all come from Eo, the Supreme Being, and then there were those continual genealogies from Eo down through to the Earth Mother and the Sky Father, who gave birth to the main gods, which were about 70 of them. Some areas there's a couple extra, depending where you which tribe you come from. So there's from those 70 gods, which were all male gods. From those 70 gods were the who mated with each other and created, you know, the first woman and so forth. They created their own genealogies. Therefore, we are all related to the winds. We can go back through our genealogy and say, well, that relation is mine in some way or form. We're all related to this one thing.
And do you mean all people in the world?
All people in the world, absolutely. Like when we talk about going back through to Eo, the Supreme Being, of course. You know, so it's just that matter of trying to link up, you know, and how and where and when. Obviously, you know, is something that is really quite exciting. There's obviously the blood DNA testing that they're doing at the moment that is, you know, the discovery of people's genealogies and where they come from. So that's really exciting, especially for someone like me who loves genealogy.
Now, I've got a question, because you mentioned very quickly in the beginning about Eeyore came, there was nothing and everything.
Can yes.
Just say a little bit more about that space.
Yep. What I'll do is I'll sing what I was going to do at the beginning, but I kind of ranted and raved a bit, is this karakia. Now, this karakia is definitely, any of you listeners out there, is definitely not to be used on any songs or any albums or anything like that. It is a traditional karakia. People put beats to all these sorts of things, but this one's definitely not allowed. This karakia talks about the beginning of time through to the world that we live in now, and actually how we are heading back on our waka, on our canoe, back to the center of our universe. It was taught to, being an ancient karakia, a lot of the parts of it had been lost because of the Tohunga Suppression Act, which came out in the 1840s, which meant that those priests were no longer allowed to teach. And there was, so basically our religion was no longer allowed to be taught. So now, things like this, where we have wānanga, modern day wānanga, where we come together into these schools and we learn in a modern way, and through our evolution where we're at, how we, and we've been able to piece these ancient prayers together. So this is how it goes. Mai te pūtahi manoa o yo mātua te kore. Kua puta ko te pō, ko te ao, ko te pū, ko te weu, ko te more, ko te aka, e tā koto ana ngā tua nei. Whakarongo ki te tangi o ngā manu. Ngā manu tui, tui tuia, tuia i runga, tuia i raro, tuia i roto, tuia i waho. Ka rongo ki te pō, ka rongo ki te ao, ko ia ko matariki, puanga putara, whakataura patau toru, takuru atutahi, tahere mai rā, marere o tunga ki te punga tūhā, o te waka, whakatau e hū. Te matoa Māui, tiki tiki ki te toi o ngā rangi, ka te whā te pō. Ko te pō unui, ko te pō roa, te pō uri uri, te pō tango tango, te pō kere kere, ka puta ka puta. Ki te amarama e, ti he mauri ora. So, basically,
Extraordinary. I'm sure the listeners could actually feel that, like, resonating in themselves.
But yeah, because that's a genealogy. That's a genealogy. The beginning of time and the beginning of existence. So it starts off, mai te pūtahi manawa o yo mātua te kore. What it's talking about from te kore. Te kore is nothingness, which is what we start with. Te kore is nothingness. And from nothingness came through Eo, the all and the everything. And how that came into being is like a seed that mai te pūtahi manoa means that the very, very first push in existence was the universe pushing itself into existence, like exactly the same as like a tree growing for the first time, like a seedling coming out of a seed. It pushes itself. Mm-hmm. Putahi manawa. Yeah, germinating. Mm-hmm. Yeah, putahi manawa. O iyo matua te kore. Kua puta, ko te pō, ko te ao, ko te pū, ko te weu, ko te more, ko te aka, e tā koto ana. What it's saying is, it's saying, from this came eons and times of darkness, and then came eons and times of light. And through those eons and time, like the time of length, the time of shortness, the time of, you know, these in darkness and light. And then from that were birthed all the gods, including the Earth Mother and the Sky Father. And from that embrace, from the Earth Mother and the Sky Father, came the birth of all the gods that exist. And when we talk about the different gods, we're talking about the elemental gods, as in Tawhiri Matia, the god of air,
the wind,
the god of wind, the god Tane Mahuta, the god of forests and the god of mankind. It's endless. There's many of them.
So it's a recognition of all of the little particles, really, that make up
absolutely
creation.
That make up creation, and everything in existence comes from that. So everything comes from nothing and goes through that process. So everything goes through that particular process to come into existence, including us as humans. One of the things that I was taught when I was little in regards to all the atua, all the gods, the elemental gods especially, is we get to embody them as a human, and we live them in this lifetime. So Ruau Moko, the god of the last born, actually the child in the earth, that's still yet to be birthed, is, you know, shaking inside of us, and that's lava. That's the lava inside the earth, and that is still yet to be birthed. So there's the stories of each individual god is really quite stunning, and then each individual god has their expression and their lessons and their story, and we embody those in our lifetime or through a period of lifetimes, depending on, you know, where your consciousness is at with yourself in this world now that we live in.
But it's all originating then from the original egg and the seed. So yes. What I experience myself in the ancestral houses is that original man and woman,
yes,
of that line,
yes,
being,
yeah,
acknowledged.
Yeah. That's a wonderful thing about, it's like in Europe, the kings and queens, both the kings and queens are acknowledged depending on their status and their birth. In our lineages, it's the same thing. Our women are as equal in their own right as the male lines. So you will find, unfortunately, because of the Tohunga Suppression Act, and therefore the great loss for a lot of families in regards to knowing their genealogies, that they would believe that some of those names of their ancestors are male. And in actual fact, if you really do deep study of it, you'll find that a lot of them aren't actually male. A lot of them are actually female. And and for me, because I grew up on a marae, but I also grew up with Christianity. So for me, learning that in my lineage, in my family line, our female line is the keeper of the genealogies, which is really quite unusual and hard for even some other Māori to understand, that the women were given such power. And I believe just through my studies with this, is that it's a modern concept for us to believe that everything just came through the male lines. However, there were definitely kept the male lines as well in some genealogies. So it is a bit of a mixture of both, depending on which iwi, what tribe you come from, and which hapu you come from as well. Yeah, which is very interesting. So coming back to that karakia, one thing that I want to mention about it as well is the birthing of all of those male gods. The times before that, before the birthing of Rangi, the Sky Father, and Papatūnuku, the Earth Mother, before that were the steps into the realms, the different realms of eons of time. And through those different realms, there were what they call the female uppers. And they were the female beings that were the keepers of the knowledge that would go from one realm into the next to take that knowledge from one being to the next, because certain gods in Te Ao Marama, in the world of light that exists today, have no access to those realms because they're beyond us. We don't have the consciousness or the awakeness, and even our gods, probably most of them, have no access to those different realms. However, their guardians were the female uppers, which I find quite beautiful and interesting, knowing that it comes through that female line and that when I say female, I mean a feminine essence. Not that it's a woman, however, because that can be misleading, but the feminine essence in itself, which is completely different to the masculine essence, which is, you know, the same thing in most indigenous cultures or you know, even old European cultural religions and belief systems and paganism and stuff, is that feminine receptive and that masculine active, those types of beliefs. Yeah,
and so there's something very like refined and sophisticated in that knowledge that is kept and passed on.
Absolutely. And I believe that I would have no idea what the teachings are in regards to the ancient, not rites of passage, but the ancient ceremonies that they did to be able to maintain the knowledge of the genealogies. Like, I can, you know, name my genealogies and I can name certain ancestors because I know definite stories about them going all the way back to 29 generations, some of them back to 32 generations, because you've got to remember, the moment that you go back one generation, it branches off. You've got your father and your mother. So you've got, you know, when you look at someone's genealogy, it literally is a tree, you know. And one of the most beautiful things, I believe, that we have a saying about here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, is we do not descend from our ancestors, we ascend from them, and we stand on their shoulders. Mm. So a lot of the genealogies that you'll see is that it's, you know, traditionally in our modern culture, you'll see, you know, the great great grandparents and so forth are above us and we come below them. However, in Māori culture, you'll see that we stand on top of them, and it's more or less done like a family. So, like within a circle, as opposed to which is really quite stunning, I believe. Yeah,
totally.
Yeah,
and so, you know, we're almost ready to go to a break, so I want the listeners to know how to contact Mihirangi. And I just want to mention also that Mihirangi is an extraordinary singer and musician, so the theme music for Sex and the Divine Design is from Mihirangi. And you can see all of the things that she's up to and where she performs all over the world at www.mihirangi.com. And I'm going to spell Mihirangi. That's Mihirangi. www.mihiaroha.com. And Mihi loves to hear from you, for sure. And so also before going to the break, I want to mention, look, you know, can you believe this? There's over 170,000 listeners for this show. So it just shows how important even a conversation, any conversation about the intricate design of creation and sex and sexuality and the masculine and feminine essence, like people are hungry all over the planet for it. So if you would like to ensure the continuation of this program, please send me an email at info@thepussytalks.com. And I'll give you all the information to let you know how you can help to sponsor this awesome, awesome program. So right now you're tuned into Mukiyoka, your orgasm's best friend on Sex and the Divine Design, with my guest Mihirangi, and she's sharing about the birth of creation from the Maori traditions. We'll be back after the break. See you soon.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Go to www.thepussytalks.com now for your programs and services. Begin your journey. Enrich your world and your sexual well-being. It's the shortcut to success, sexual energy mastery, and beyond. Do it now. Mookie is waiting for you. And if you want sexual well-being for humanity too, you are invited to contribute your unique skills to this private nonprofit foundation. We need volunteers and interns for research, multimedia, admin, and more. Go to www.thepussytalks.com now. Humanity needs you.
You are listening to Sex and the Divine Design with Muki Okon. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please call in to 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Or send an email to info@thepussytalks.com. Now, back to Sex and the Divine Design.
Welcome back. This is your host, Muki Okan, your orgasm's best friend on Sex and the Divine Design, with my awesome guest today, Mihirangi. And we are speaking about, Mihirangi is sharing about the birth of creation. And so if you want to contact Mihirangi, she's a world citizen, you can go to her website, www.mihirangi.com. That's M-I-H-I-R-A-N-G-I. So before we went to the break, Mihi was sharing about the karakia that she spoke in a sacred manner to us, and explaining different parts of that. So where were we at?
Well, it's really funny because we were only touching on the beginning of it. It's such a beautiful karakia that, and once again, back to our listeners, we're talking about the genealogy of the beginning of creation. One of the beautiful things about that karakia is it talks about some people misinterpret it, even today in Māori it's misinterpreted, but the tui, tui tuia, tuia I runga, tuia I raro, tuia I roto, tuia I waho. What that is saying is people believe that that's the bird, the tui. It is a reference to it, however, because we have a bird here called the tui. And it's a beautiful bird and has a beautiful whistle that goes. But what this is referring to is actually the weavers, the ancient weavers of energy, that whole thing that you talk about, Muki, in regards to the choreograph and design of energy. Mm-hmm. Or that's exactly what they were. They were the ancient weavers in the other realms. So the ancient weavers were called... tui, tui, tui-a, Tuiai rungo, they weave it as above. Tuiai raro, they weave it below. Tuiai roto, they weave it inside. Tuiai iwaho, they weave it on the outside. So there's one thing in Māori culture is the weaving of the mats that our ancestors, our great-grandmothers and great-great-great-grandmothers would make. All those old weaving mats that you see are all about genealogy. So a lot of the stories and stuff are weaved into those mats. So it's a similar thing where the threads of an essence of something is woven in the above, it is woven in the below, it is woven within and then within the without, on the outer. So I find that really quite a stunning talk that we have that knowledge, you know, that existed in our karakia. You know, I'm reading a book at the moment by a man called Alston Best, and he wrote a lot on the Polynesian cultures and Māori culture, and was one of the main writers on Māori religion or Māori beliefs and so forth. But his knowledge that he learned, he talks about it actually, how unless you know a language, an indigenous language, there's no way you're going to get to know anything, because languages itself speaks all about who they are as a people, and trying to use another person's language to describe it is really nearly quite impossible. However, what I'm reading about from him at the moment is he talks about how primitive we were, and yet in the same breath he talks about this incredible knowledge that we have. And because of the belief system, that they didn't get to know us first. Because and it's the same with the Aboriginal elders in Australia, you know. If you want to know something, or you want to know them, or you want to learn something from them, you have to sit with them. Not for an hour, not for a day, not for a week. You have to sit and be with them for months.
Or years.
Exactly, which is, you know, one of the stories that we have here of one of our ancestors who went to Meringata Kakara, the sacred site where we went to, where one of our ancestors, he went to go and take the mana, the power of this particular area, where a lot of our whare wānanga, our traditional teachings, were taught. And an elder was sitting on his porch, and these men rock up and say, well, we've come here to take the power of this place, and we're going to own it ourselves. And the old man said, well, here, it's on my tongue. Come and get it, it's on my tongue. And so these men were like, oh, what does he mean? What is he really talking about? So these men, they went off and sat off in the distance. They sat there for 3 or 4 days. 3 or 4 days later, they came back and they understood what he was saying, because they were like, oh, what does he mean? There's some dark magic about this. You know, what is he really, something, get it off his tongue, the power off his tongue. Well, they end up sitting there for 11 years learning the traditions of the wānanga, of the ancient teachings of that place. So, yeah, it's, you know, 11 years to sit with someone and learn these things. So coming back to Alston Best, he, you know, how he was considered by a lot of people today as one of the people who knew us, who knew our ancestors, who knew our people. But when you've got someone even like him who have minimal knowledge, who believe that they got a lot of knowledge, but they really didn't. They really, really, really didn't, and still are able to say that we're primitive. But yet here I can sit here and talk about, well, these ancient weavers and these karakia, and it is so relative and so truthful, you know, to the point where in this karakia, the one that I just did, before the break, the end of it, so what happens in it is it goes through the eons of time, and it goes through, you know, the birthing of the gods, and then it goes through more eons of time. But then it also goes through the genealogies of the star walker, what we call the canoes of the stars. And it talks about, and this is beautiful and stunning, how we're going through the channels back through our ancestors, Matariki, the Pleiades, Koia ko Matariki, Puanga, Putara, Whakataurapa, Tautoru. Going through that genealogy, we talk about going through the Pleiades, we go through Regal and through Orion, and you go all the way back through to Koia ko Maui, Tiki Tiki ki te toi o ngā rangi e. So it goes back to the center of the universe, and so in a sense, what we're doing now is our universe exploded and expanded, and everything suddenly existed through Eo. So from Te Kore, from nothingness, everything existed. And now the universe is breathing back in, and we're traveling back on this waka, back through the beginning to the beginning of time, which is the Big Bang Theory. And this karakia talks about the stars, and in particular there's one group of stars in which it goes back to, which we say in Māori is the center of our universe, where Te Kore started from and where suddenly everything existed. So nothingness to everything is the Big Bang Theory.
And which is the star group?
I don't know how to say it in Pākehā. I actually don't know I know what it looks like in the stars, but what you call it in Pākehā, I wouldn't actually know. Mm-hmm. Maui, our great ancestor Maui, has his fish hook wrapped around it, and we're constantly, our universe is evolving, is just going around it. And in recent years, we have had scientists come who study the stars and study the Big Bang Theory, come to New Zealand, come to Aotearoa, and went to Wellington, to the conservatorium down there with some of our people who are the keepers of this knowledge, and discovered that, because they have discovered, science has discovered that yes, it is where the Big Bang came from. So that confirmation of a knowledge that comes from a primitive race, it's kind of crazy to say that in any way, shape or form, just because a culture doesn't wear a certain type of clothing or doesn't have mechanical things that go bang, doesn't necessarily mean that their knowledge is without value and of potentially highly sacred value. And this karakia that I've done is to us highly sacred. That's why I say, you know, not to copy it or not to use it for anything.
And so you could say that author didn't have the consciousness or the awareness so that whole realm of wisdom and knowledge that's part of the Maori traditions was completely invisible to him.
Absolutely.
Because he was limited in his perspective.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the king, the queen at that time was threatened by it as well, you know, because that's why they brought out the Tohunga Suppression Act. Let's get rid of their religion, and it completely, therefore, disconnected us from not only that knowledge but from our genealogies, which is coming doing full circle back to what we were talking about before, about the genealogies.
And rather than religion, it's really the spiritual tradition.
Yes, absolutely. Spiritual traditions. Yeah, I use the word religion because
it's a common word that people use.
Yeah, but you're right, it's not the right way to describe it. It's a belief system that worked, and it's a belief system that still works.
It's based on the structure of the actual
of the universe,
structure and matrix of creation.
Yeah, the matrix, absolutely, the structure of creation. And that's why when people come to this country, or you know, it doesn't matter where we are in the world, really, we can say that we're all related in some way. You know, there's no separation. One of the things that Alston Best does talk about as well in his books is that when the Europeans first arrived here, they had no concept of our concept of non-separation. To us, there was absolutely no separation, especially amongst ourselves. Now, people will say, oh yeah, but you fought one another. However, the fighting that we did against each other was all part and parcel of what we call utu, which is the balance, to bring about the balance of everything. It does not mean to say that you're not related. Our chiefs who would, you know, if you've got a chief who's, you know, killed, say, the husband, another chief, he would then have to take that chief's wife and look after that wife's family. Things like that. So there was this real respect and honouring of who each other's genealogies were. Mm-hmm. However, if bad things were done, there was always a balance that had to be brought about in order to bring back the balance.
So there was really a sacred law that was
sacred law that
part of the fabric of everything.
Absolutely, absolutely. And yeah, so that's one thing that I really especially in where we live today, you know, in this real this living of complete separation. It still has its place because there's still that like personal identity thing going on where it's like, okay, I am authentic and I am different. And I personally wouldn't know the depth of anything else in the world that we live in, because it's what we're brought up in, you know. It's but I would love to, I yearn for, and I try my hardest to learn more and more and more to maintain what it means to be not separated from everything. And
now, how did you learn that karakia?
How did I learn that karakia?
Yeah, I was my nurse.
Well, actually, I heard it from a wonderful friend of mine, Tua Waka, who is the kai wero for his people, the Ngāti Toa, down in Wellington. He's the he's quite an incredible person. He's a kai wero is somebody that does traditional weaponry, taiaha and stuff. It's a spiritual practice unto itself. It's very, very, very similar to martial arts, and that the deeper you learning you have with it, the more spiritual knowledge that you gain for yourself in being a warrior within yourself. So yeah, he's a awesome warrior, and he represents his people with that and a whole tribe. And he actually sang it to me one day, and I pretty much begged him, bro, can I please learn that, please. It's so stunning. And that was when I first arrived home. Well, I'd been living in Australia and I moved home 2 years ago, and that was the first thing that I learnt, which really for me brought everything home for me, in a sense, you know, because just knowing that karakia itself, you know, going through it and maintaining the essence of it and the truth of it and bringing that into my everyday life has also allowed me to make sure that I remain connected, that I remain connected with the all and the everything, and that I remember my place in this world in regards to that and my genealogy. So it allows it's part of genealogy, it's part of our ancient karakia or pātere or pepeha, being recital of whakapapa of genealogy. So yeah, it's very, very precious to me, and yeah, I love it. I love it. It's and every time I sing it or say it, it's very visual for me because I can see it, you know. And, yeah.
Is that the one you shared this morning with our group?
Yes.
That was so incredible.
Yeah. Because I think one of the things too, like we've been traveling together as this group.
We've been on a ceremonial medicine journey in Aotearoa. This is our last afternoon.
And it's really sad because we're all separating now. And the reason why I wanted to sing that was, for me personally, to bring it back to this universal family that we've all been birthed from. And it's really nice to remember that, especially when you're saying goodbye, you know, that remembrance of our universal family and that we're all brothers and sisters. And we have, you know, we've become family on this trip, on this trip, and it's wonderful. It's been amazing. And yeah, it's lovely to not only give the knowledge that we have from here, but also to learn the knowledge from yourself and from Bhati. It's been again, I love it because it's all part and parcel of that sharing of that universal knowledge. We therefore can connect it back and relink things that are missing, you know, whether it's something that doesn't make sense that you know is there. And yeah, so it's again, it's that whakapapa, it's that genealogy of knowledge.
Well, I know every time that you stood up and shared like that, that creation story, that karakia, what a profound impact it has on each one of us, and really on a cellular level, just feel it resonating.
Incredible. I find that the more I visualize it, the more and make sure that I'm in it and that I'm going through the process of that, then yeah, definitely that gets shared for sure. You can see that even when we got up and we spoke. So for those listeners out there who may not know what we do here in Aotearoa when we first meet people for the first time, what we do is there's another process that happens first, but I won't talk about that. I'll talk about the second part of the process is when we share the breath and we put our noses on the other person's nose and we share the sacred breath that we're all breathing together, this universe that we're breathing in and out together, to bring us back to the same mind and to the same breath. And I was getting to something in regards to that we were...
So the whole thing of sharing and connecting.
Oh yeah. So then what happens is everyone gets to go around and mention who they are and where they come from. And one of the beautiful things that we did in our marae was our marae is a traditional house or traditional meeting area, and our wharanui, our ancestral house, was when everyone spoke in their own language. And they sung something in their own language, because we're all here as a universal family on this journey. Like you say, Mukhi, that resonance, you can really feel the resonance of what someone is talking about when they speak in their own language, because language has its own power and its own essence and its own contribution to the universal matrix of the ancient weaving.
And one thing that I noticed was a common thread for, because there was a lot of people from Europe on this journey, how impacted they were by the powerful women from the Maori world.
I think because of that whole concept of and you know, this is not about pointing fingers or anything silly like that, but we live in the world that we live in, and the world that we live in, the colonized world that we live in, religion was used as something to suppress people, which is really quite sad. So the women are the ones in most cultures that are suppressed, and you'll generally find in most indigenous cultures it was the women who had so much power. You know, and to us, the female genital area is so powerful that a woman is not allowed to walk over a man. You know, you're not allowed to step over them because of the power of that area. Not because it's ugly or it's bad or it's yucky or it's, you know, it's naughty or anything like that, but because it is so potent and so powerful that to walk over a man is, can traditionally in old times was not considered a good thing to do because of the power of that area. Most people in the world know about the haka kamate. Kamate, it's actually the All Blacks do the haka kamate. And kamate, I'll sing a little bit, I'll do a little bit of it for you so you remember, because you will know what it is. The All Blacks do it. It goes, kamate, kamate, kia ora, kia ora. Kamate, kamate, kia ora, kia ora. Tēnē te tangata puru, uru nā, nande tiki mai whakawhiti tērā. Ara upane, 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 ka upane whiti tērā. Hi. So that's obviously a very soft version of it.
So,
normally it's done really powerful and strong and as you've all seen the All Blacks do. One of the beautiful things about that haka is actually the origins of it, and I learnt as a little girl growing up. There's that verse, that's only one verse. Now, Te Rau Paraha was the ancestor who wrote that, and Te Rau Paraha is from the Ngāti Tua. And my friend, again, Tō Waka, he taught me a lot, actually, in regards to that haka as well, but also my aunties. So just very quickly, I'll just recap on what it actually means, because there's actually 54 verses to that haka, and it's quite in depth. And what happened was, Te Rau Paraha was running away from a war party. As he was running away, he hid in a kumara pit, and he hid between the legs of a woman. Obviously, in those days, hiding between the legs of a woman would have been forbidden because of the power and the essence of a woman. However, I guess you're in a life and death situation. So what he's done is he's gone between her legs and he's gone, kamate, kamate. So he's in a dark pit. He's looking into the pit. It is death, because it's darkness and it's death. Then he looks up and he looks up between her legs and he's like going, no, kia ora, it is life. It is life, because he's remembering where he comes from. He's wondering, is this woman going to maintain and keep giving him this life? Tēnē te tangata pahuruhuru. This is the hairy person who's going to cause the sun or the new day to continue to shine. Now, a lot of people into our Māori would say that the pahuruhuru refers to the hairy man who was the husband of this woman. I never learnt that as a child. As a child, I learnt that it was from my aunties. That actually refers to the vaginal hair of the woman that was standing above him. And that's the people who are the keeper of that haka have confirmed, you know, will tell you themselves what that actually means. So again, there's that story of Christianity coming in and warping what things actually mean, because we had no insecurities about sexuality. And even Alston Best talks about how, how crass, or you know, he viewed the open sexuality in our culture as something to be frowned upon, which obviously they did in those days. So anyway, that's another kōrero unto itself, another talk unto itself.
We're gonna have to just do another session because we're at the end, and gosh, we're just getting into it, so definitely have to do another session.
Yeah.
And I want the listeners to know how to contact Mihirangi. That's at www.mihirangi.com, MIHIRANGI.com. And to find out more about what's happening with the Pussy Talks, please go to www.thepussytalks.com. And so I always like to finish with an inspirational quote or something, and Mihirangi has agreed to inspire us.
As the ancient weavers would say, ki runga, ki raro, ki roto, ki waho. Weave it as above, weave it as below, weave it on the inside, and you weave it all on the outside. Kia ora.
Kia ora, Mihi. Thank you so much.
Thank you again for tuning in. Please join Muki Okan for another edition of Sex and the Divine Design next Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. We'll see you here next week.